welcome everyone to our service here this morning. And we do have several who are visiting with us, as I've seen that just walking through the audience a few minutes ago. If, again, realizing this is a holiday weekend, we'll call it Labor Day weekend. There's several things, obviously, we want to talk about today along that idea of labor. And I invite your attention to turn your Bible to Hebrews chapter 4. We'll look at a couple of verses there as sort of a launching point from the rest of the verses that we'll look at from our text today. A couple of announcements. One is not in the bulletin and one that is in the bulletin. The one that's in the bulletin is last Monday evening, there were three young girls who were baptized into Christ here. Their names are Bailey, Hannah, and Allie, and of Moore, and they're Stephanie Moore's daughters, and of course Ann Norton's granddaughters, and Sarah Pepper's, I guess, be great nieces, and all the rest of that family. So we're glad to announce their baptism here, and want you to know that they're part of our congregation. We want you to know that, help us to welcome them. Also, this coming Wednesday morning, I didn't get this in the bulletin. I forgot to get it to Kay. We always start the Wednesday morning Bible class at 10 o'clock back the Wednesday after Labor Day. So since tomorrow's Labor Day, we'll, Lord willing, start Wednesday morning at 10 o'clock. We'll pick up where we left off last May. I think that was the last class, the third Wednesday in May. So if you'd like to come and be a part of that class, we meet in a classroom down the hallway back toward the office wing. And we have a pretty productive study. We've got a lot of great students in that class. The book of Hebrews is a book that's very unique in the New Testament for many reasons. One, it is a book of exhortation. Hebrews 13, verse 22, it says, "Suffer the word of exhortation." Exhortation means to encourage. It means to give some information as to cause a person to be motivated to keep on keeping on. Well, that was the problem here. It was that some of these people who were Hebrews by nationality and by their lineage were being told by certain people that you need to give up the concept of following Jesus as you'd been taught through the apostles, and you need to go back to the law of Moses. You need to really work hard according to what the law of Moses told you to do. Well, if you go back and study your Old Testament, and particularly even the book of Romans, what you will find is, by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Meaning, by any action that a person did under the law who didn't put his faith toward the object that was coming, meaning the ultimate sacrifice of God in Jesus Christ, then all your actions became meritorious works and they were vain works. The Jewish false teachers basically had gotten these people to believe that. That it is by your actions, by your effort, and not by anything else, that therefore God is obligated to, as it were, you've scratched God's back, now God will scratch yours. He promised you salvation, you do your part, God does his part. Well, the concept of salvation is by grace through faith. Ephesians 2, verses 8, not of works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians 2, verse 9. Now, that doesn't mean there's not anything that a Christian is to do for the very next verse. Ephesians 2, 10 says what? We are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So there is something that the child of God is to do. Hebrews 4, 10 and 11 says that. Actually, in the King James Version, he uses the word labor in verse 11. Other translations use the word let us give diligence or get in a hurry. The word is spoudazo, which where we get our English word speed, to get in a hurry. But back in verse 10, it says, for he has entered into his rest. For he that entered into his rest, he has also ceased from his own labors or works, as God did, God also did with his. Indicating the fact that in 6 days God worked, and then in the seventh day God rested. It doesn't mean God got tired. It means he was finished with his work, and therefore he ceased to work. There's a time to work, and there's a time to cease from work. So for the child of God, what is our earthly life about? So he's writing to Christians here who are drifting back under the law. So what is the exhortation in verse 11? Let us labor, therefore, to enter into his rest, lest any man fail because of what? After the same example of unbelief. What's the same example? That first generation of Hebrews that came out of Egypt, chapter 3. In other words, Did the Israelites labor under Egyptian bondage before God delivered them? Goes without saying, right? They were slaves. And that's what slaves do. They work. So God freed them from slavery to become free men, though not freed from God, freed from the Egyptians. So what did they do in the wilderness? Did they serve God with a thankful and diligent heart because he had saved them and delivered them? They no longer have to worry about the Egyptians? What did they do in the wilderness? They murmured, didn't they? They tempted God. And therefore, because they did not lean on God and labor for God, what did God do with that generation? These all died because of unbelief, Hebrews 3, verse 19. So the exhortation is what? Don't be like your fathers. Don't be like your ancestors. Yes, you're freed from sin, the burden and the bondage of sin, and yet that doesn't mean that you don't have work to do. That doesn't mean that you're not to be diligent in doing things. By the way, we often use the word work and labor almost interchangeably. If I said, how many of you women know what going into labor means? I didn't say laboring on the job, going into labor. How about some of you who are students, whether in grade school or even in college? What is home work? What is school work? Still work, isn't it? Activity. By the way, the concept of work is not an evil thing. Look at this passage, Genesis 2, verse 15. This is before sin ever came into the world. Do you know the Bible says that God, when he made man, he set him in the Garden of Eden for two purposes, to keep it and to dress it, is the King James translation. To keep it and to dress it. Well, what does that mean? Keep means to have dominion over, to protect, to make sure that things are as they ought to be. What does the word dressed mean? It means to tend to it. Tend to it. Matter of fact, some of you parents probably dressed your children to come to services. What are you doing? You're tending to their needs to be able to walk out of the house and come to services. So God gave Adam, and then later on, obviously, Eve, his helpmeet. God gave them a responsibility in the Garden of Eden. God didn't make it what we call no management gardening or orchard work. All of what God created physically still had to be tended to by those whom God put that under them, man, woman. So the indication is work is not a curse. How about our society today? How about our world today? Is work a curse? Yeah, I just hate work. Maybe you hate your job. Do you hate work? How many of you have ever known if someone says, I would be bored out of my mind if I didn't have something to do? Like, what are you going to do for tomorrow? Tomorrow's Labor Day. By the way, it doesn't mean you labor. It means it's a holiday. By the way, even for teachers, right? This is one of those days the teachers actually smile, right? Labor Day. You get this day off. I've been in school 4 weeks. Actually, the kids like it too. The parents may not. What's the idea? Labor Day. It's not a day to labor, it's a day to think about labor. Even the concept of that holiday has to do with the fact labor in this country is a blessing. It's a blessing. Do you know the Bible teaches that faith and love are important? Now abides faith, hope, love, these three. The grace of these is love. Faith, hope, and love, important. But you know that faith that works by love is what profits. See, work's not a curse. Faith without works is dead, James 2 says. So the very idea that God gave us something to do, and actually something very important to do, is something to be considered a blessing. Think about people that are sometimes in visiting the nursing home. I see these people, and I think about, would they give anything, really, to have the vigor of a human body to be able to walk out and just do what they used to do. If nothing but make the bed, make their own breakfast, give themselves their own bath, put their own clothes on, some of them. Some people actually retire from work to go back to work. They just change careers. It's like, I've been retired 3 days and I am absolutely don't know what to do with myself. Some of us, if I'd known retirement was going to be this great, I'd have retired back when I first started work. Almost that idea. Well, what are you going to do with your life? God made this body, your body, to work. To work. Literally, your body needs exercise just for the very nature of the fact that's how this body continues to function in a normal capacity. To sit down and do nothing, to sit down and do nothing is absolute torture. It's torture because the body just pines away. And by the way, the mind can do the same thing. The spirit can do the same thing. So let's think about this idea of work. Turn to Proverbs 10 and verse 16. Here is a passage in the Old Testament that, by the way, Proverbs is filled with passages on work, labor, toil, all the synonyms that have to do with this concept. In Proverbs 10 and verse 16, it says, "The labor of the righteous tends to life, the fruit of the wicked to sin." Now that's two kinds of activities there. Here is the activity of the righteous, and here's the activity of the wicked, or the unrighteous is the Hebrew word there, the opposite of the word righteous. The righteous to life, but to the wickedness towards sin, literally toward missing the mark. Do you have a goal for you in life? Setting goals? Recently, I think I gave a talk somewhere, I can't remember exactly because my summer's been so busy, about setting goals. You know, if you don't have something to aim toward, to shoot toward, how do you know you're getting anywhere? The righteous, this labor of the righteous, this work of the righteous, it tends to life. And not just life now, eternal life. Isn't that the ultimate goal? The ultimate concept of what my whole existence is? Fear God, keep His commandments. This is the whole of man. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13. By the way, did Solomon look at every kind of labor under the sun in the book of Ecclesiastes? What did he describe it if you don't fear God and keep His commandments? Vanity of vanities. It's all vain. And he talks about why it's all vain. For example, are you going to take it with you when you die? No. You're going to accumulate all of this effort and all this produce from that effort, and you're not going to take it with you. Isn't that vain? Or are you going to leave it behind to someone who's going to squander everything you've ever accumulated? Isn't that vain to do that? And you're going to leave it to your heirs, and your heirs are not going to appreciate it? And on and on and on, he talked about different things, just looking at life from the physical eye. And then he looks at it from God's eye and says, there is a labor that's not in vain. Fear God. Keep. Keep, by the way, means do. It's an action. Keep His commandments. Do what He asks you to do. So what is this point? The labor of the righteous, it tends toward life. Tends toward life. Stay with me in that concept, and I'll follow you through the New Testament in that same idea. But let's look at some divine blessings that actually come into labor. We talked about Ephesians 2 and verse 10. This is actually ordained of God. It's purposed by God. We are His workmanship. Did you know that when God made Christians, He went to work? He literally went to work. When God took the clay and made man and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, did the potter make a work? When God took a rib from the side of man and then from that made woman, did he go to work? See, God's a creator. God's a worker. Folks, if God's a worker, what should His people be? What should be our occupation? We are a work of God. We are His workmanship. We have been created in Christ Jesus. Unto what? Unto good works. That's the purpose of God creating us. Which God hath, watch the rest of that verse, before ordained. What in the world does before ordained mean? It means I made you in order to make you to do something. It's like, can you imagine a person making a cup, a potter making a cup, and all of a sudden you say, okay, isn't that a good looking cup? Well, you're thirsty. Why don't you use that cup? No, I didn't make it to use. I made it to look at. I mean, how many of y'all got enough of that stuff at your house? Stuff to look at. That way, if you don't dust it, by the way, guess what? You got to dust it. A We call them dust collectors, right? How many of you want your life to be that way? I just want to be a Christian, obey the gospel, and just sit back on a pew and collect dust. Is that what you want to do? I've actually met people, and I think I'm talking to people in this room, I've actually met people that make this statement. I'm looking for a congregation that will put me to work. You ever heard anybody make a statement like that? I don't want to come to a congregation and just sit down and do nothing. I want to be a part of a congregation where I will have something to do. I've actually met people like that. And very likely that's you. Folks, let me tell you, if I were not a gospel preacher, if I were to retire from pulpit preaching and I were in the pew from Sunday to Sunday, I would still want to do the Lord's work. I want to do something. I don't care what it is, I would want to do something. To the day I die, to the day that I've got any kind of physical, mental capacity to do anything, I want to be a what for the Lord. I want to trust in His holy word. I want to sing and pray and be what every day in the kingdom of the Lord, the vineyard of the Lord. We sing that song, right? I want to be busy. By the way, it's possible to be busy and not be productive. But the idea is what? To work. Work's not a curse. It is actually ordained of God, purposed by God. Look at Proverbs 14, verse 23. Here's a passage again in Proverbs that talks about profit. Also, it talks about the difference between doing and talking about it. You know, you can talk a thing to death, right? Watch. Verse 23, in all labor there is profit, but the talk of the lips tends or has a tendency only to penury. Penury. What in the world is penury? Here's the idea of that which enslaves and that which traps. That which actually creates a detriment, not a profit. Though we always want things to be profitable, right? Like all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable, right? Profitable. 2 Timothy 3:16. You see that how by works a man is justified and not by faith only. Based upon what? What shall we say then? Can faith without works profit a man? Profit. There's our word profit in James 2. So the idea is what? I want something that actually is going to bring a return. Okay? In all labor, there is profit. By the way, what about in all wicked labor? Well, he's not talking about wicked labor here. Now you got to put chapter 10, verse 16 with chapter 14, verse 23. Okay? The labor of the righteous tends to life. In all labor, there is profit. What kind of labor? The labor of the righteous is what he means. In all labor of the righteous, there is profit. By the way, when we get to the New Testament, see if the New Testament doesn't clearly say that. In all labor of the righteous. But what is the talk of the lips? Talk of the lips. What is that? That's saying without doing. Scribes and the Pharisees were masters at that, right? Jesus said in Matthew 23 to those disciples that were following him, just about beware of the scribes and the Pharisees. They sit in Moses' seat. And then he talks about whatsoever therefore they bid you observe and do, but do ye not after their works. For why? For they say and do not. In other words, it's one thing to say something. It's another thing to actually do what you're saying. As the old expression goes, what? Talk is cheap, talks cheap. What about John chapter 6 and verse 27? When Jesus had fed the multitudes and then he had left them for a while, when he came back across the Sea of Galilee, they're looking for him. By the way, they want to make him a king, basically by force make him a king because he's filling their belly. That's what they're interested in, is their flesh. They're not interested in their soul so much. Jesus said, labor not for the meat that perishes, but unto that which is what? He does say to labor into that which is an eternal life, which God hath given unto us, those that are his, you know, and them that he has sealed. So the picture is what? Do labor, not for that of the material things that perishes, but unto that which is of eternal life. So in all areas, just in these few verses, the one in Ephesians 2, Proverbs 14, John 6, the emphasis is God designed human life to have some kind of activity about it. Now, what about Psalm 127 and verse 1? Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. First part of that verse. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. Except the Lord is going to build this house, then all labor, all your labor is in vain. So here is a labor that is in vain, right? In all labor there is profit, not in this kind of labor. A labor that's not a labor built by the Lord is a vain labor, according to Psalm 127, verse 1. So you got to take all these verses and put them together to get the picture of what really is a good labor, a good work, a righteous work, a profitable work. And then here you've got three verses right out of the New Testament. Jesus says in Matthew 11, 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Now that's a different kind of concept there. This isn't talking about the labor of the righteous. This is talking about the labor that a person is under because he's still in his sins. Working for Satan, give up that kind of labor and heavy burden, and I will give you rest. Doesn't mean retirement rest, where you don't do anything. Because then he says, what in verse 29? Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Yoke means more work. And now learn from me. Don't learn from your old taskmaster. Learn from your new master. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. You still got a work to do. But have you labored under the load of sin? So the greatness of the gospel, particularly in the resurrection chapter, be you steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Why? For as much as you K-N-O-W know your what is not in vain in the Lord. Your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You see, that goes back to Proverbs 10 and verse 16. The labor of the righteous tends to life. Your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Old and New Testament preach the same message. How many of you have ever done anything in life, and looking back on it now, you say, that was an utter waste of time. That was an absolute waste of time. I remember sitting down with a particular project and spending several hours doing this particular project. And when it was all over, I looked back on it and says, you know, I was busy about nothing. I can't tell you how many different things over here I need to get done. And I have spent 2 hours on this. And I am no sooner to finish in anything that is of any account of this than when I started it. I wished I'd never started it. You ever been there? How about time with this? Is that in vain? How about time in prayer? Is that in vain? How about time like this? Is that in vain? How about time in teaching your children to sing, to pray, to learn their Bible? Is that in vain? How about visiting the sick who just need a friendly face? Is that in vain? How about speaking to someone who is having a hard time in life, maybe right here in this building? Is that in vain? How about any good work? Any and every good work. Folks, this life is a life to work. And blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, says the Spirit, they do rest from their labors. And their works do follow them. There's two things true about those that are in the Lord who are alive now, much less when they die in the Lord. It's two things. Number one, they're workers. They do rest from their labors. The second thing the righteous understand about their labors is this life is a life to work. It's not a life to rest. It's a life to work. It's not a life to rest. I'll rest on the other side. What did Jesus say to his disciples one day? The night comes when no man can work. The day is coming when no man will be able to work. So work, for the night is coming. We sing that song, right? Work, for the night is coming. The labor of the Lord, you rest from it. And all of what you've done in the past is not in vain. Laboring under sin, Jesus says, I'll give you that rest. Laboring for the Lord, every day you lay up treasures in heaven. Not material treasures, real treasure. If you're here today and you're not a Christian, you have an employer who wants to hire you. His name's God Almighty, your creator. His son at your right hand came down here in this old world, worked hard, lived the life, paid the price, and now he has offered it through the blood of Christ, of which every first day of the week on the Lord's Supper, we always remember that death. We even remember his resurrection in view of the fact we do show the Lord's death till he come. And so here is the work of God through Jesus Christ. And do you sing the song in your heart and in your life? I want to be a worker for the Lord. If you're here today and you're not a child of God, you're working for somebody. Don't you want to be a worker for the Lord? That your labor is not in vain in the Lord? Believing that Christ is the Son of God, repenting of your sins, confessing your faith, being baptized today into Christ, we're here to assist you to do that. To rise out of that walk of life and do what? Walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Ephesians 4 and verse 1. What do you mean, vocation? Yeah, you just got a new job. Oh, I didn't want a job. I just want to go to heaven. Well, guess what? When you obey the gospel, you take on a new job, vocation. By the way, it's a worthy vocation. Every day is productivity. Don't you want to be productive? Every day is productivity. Maybe you've drifted back in the world of sin. You've thought, well, there's better profit out here in the world. It's vain to serve God. It's better profit out here in the world. You serve in a different taskmaster back there. Oh, yeah, and no question the Bible teaches there's pleasure in sin for a season. Let me tell you, that's short-lived pleasure. Matter of fact, it's not even a long-lived pleasure in the world in which we're living. Folks, we're going to labor one way or the other. Do you know that? We're either going to labor unto sin, we're either going to be slaves to sin unto death, or we're going to be servants of God unto righteousness, Romans 6. 16 through 18. We're going to be workers either way. Why not work for that which profits? If you're subject today, Jerry's out of town, but Tim and I are here to assist you. Won't you come while together we stand as we sing?